I've always liked Suzanne and James Robertson's notion of trawling for requirements. It suggests that there's real work to be done to discover, analyze, and document stakeholders' needs as requirements or user stories. One of the earliest steps in the process involves identifying the types of stakeholders whom the delivered system will impact, and then finding specific people to fill each role. Ideally, each of these stakeholders should be CRAC ones, where CRAC stands for collaborative, representative, accountable, committed, and knowledgeable. But if only that were always the case. In reality, business analysts and requirements engineers often deal with a smorgasbord of stakeholders with not only different degrees of crackness, but also different personalities, motivations, and skill sets. I've personally experienced this firsthand on several occasions. In one particular project, three stakeholders stood out from the crowd. I've changed their names in the story to protect them. Tom was my most ornery stakeholder. He was ultimately responsible for the organizational unit for which we were delivering a product. From his position of authority, he brooked no debate, leading in the end to an incorrect requirement that came back to haunt my team for many months to come. Bill was the company owner. He had clear goals for the new product, but he didn't engage in the requirements elicitation process at all. He seemed really unaware, even unconcerned about the dysfunctional stakeholder interactions, and emerged only occasionally to see a demo of the new system. Charlene only reticently contributed to the requirements gathering process. Fearful that the new product would eliminate her position, she evasively responded to requests for information and contributed no unsolicited ideas. Fortunately for the project as a whole, several motivated, collaborative, and knowledgeable stakeholders contributed information and ideas consistently throughout the whole project, and because of them, we were able to deliver an almost on-time, within-budget product. Working with diverse stakeholders is a fact of life for any requirements engineer, and learning to bring out the best in each of them is an art acquired only over time. Many bloggers and academics have suggested ways to think about stakeholders, to increase our awareness of their diversity, and to offer ways to draw out their best performance. A quick Google search reveals numerous cutesy stakeholder profiles. For example, we find relators, expressors, analyzers, and drivers on Alex Chu's blog, Talking Tom, Missing Mindy, Emailing Emma, Grumpy Grant, and Big Idea Bart on the Project Manage This blog, and Firefighters, Superheroes, Data Demons, Process Policemen, and Brick Walls on the Product and Process Innovation blog. I'm going to leave it to you to follow the links that are in the article if you're interested, or to imagine for yourself what kind of stakeholders each of these might actually represent. However, I'm going to avoid the temptation to create still more caricatures. Instead, I'll focus on stakeholder interaction techniques that I've particularly found effective for solving three common stakeholder problems. The first one I entitle My Way or the Highway. Stakeholders might have different opinions about requirements and their priorities. For example, a manager might argue that data should be stored and managed remotely across different parts of the organization and then retrieved only as needed. But an architect might counter-argue that a distributed design will lead to performance issues and produce unacceptable latency. While there really is no right or wrong to this debate, there are simple trade-offs that we need to explore. However, at times individual stakeholders will approach the requirements process and the discussion of stakeholders aiming to win at any cost. Such stakeholders rarely announce publicly their plans to promote their own favorite features over those of their co-workers, and it might take us a while to realize the social dynamics that are at play. Requirements engineers and business analysts might be reluctant to confront such stakeholders, however, not doing so is detrimental to the project. The best solution is to approach a situation calmly and objectively, and in fact, one particularly useful technique that I've used was created by Barry Beam and his team of researchers and called Easy Win-Win Requirements Process. Easy Win-Win gives all stakeholders a voice in identifying and resolving trade-offs. And it's effective because it leads or guides stakeholders systematically through the process of identifying factual information, exploring the problem from multiple perspectives, and then making a gallant effort to achieve consensus. Although we want all stakeholders to speak up and let their opinion be known, an argumentative, non-collaborative stakeholder probably won't be an asset to the project, and that person should, if possible, be removed from the project's critical path. The second common problem I want to discuss, I'm going to call the voiceless stakeholder. Some organizations, or even entire cultures, are quite hierarchical, with strong power structures at play. In such environments, stakeholders may often feel uncomfortable expressing their opinions, especially if the opinions conflict with those of higher management. The problem is exacerbated if a manager has a domineering personality, or if politics are involved and a group of stakeholders is deliberately excluded. A rather old but seminal example of stakeholder exclusion is the case of the London Ambulance Service. At the time that the LAS system was being created, it represented cutting-edge technology that would accept emergency calls and dispatch ambulances across London. The first few days following the system launch were dismal, with numerous dispatch failures and patients left stranded. Besides project and technical problems, one cause is thought to have been disgruntled ambulance drivers whose voices had not been heard during the requirement solicitation process. So in the end, the new ambulance dispatch and routing algorithms had drivers transporting patients in areas with which they were not familiar, meaning that they could end up very far from home base at the end of each of their shifts. Unsurprisingly, the drivers rebelled against the new demands the system introduced to their workload. A similar thing can happen on a far smaller and more individual scale. For example, upper-level managers who expect to have the last word, even though they might not actually understand the details of the tasks to be performed, might hinder the discovery of important requirements. As requirements engineers, we need to give everyone a voice, possibly by letting stakeholders contribute and discuss requirements anonymously. Although I would not generally advocate this approach, because I actually prefer a more open, collegial discussion, I certainly would consider it if I noticed that stakeholders were reticent to contribute to ideas or to articulate their opposing opinions. Several tools support anonymous contributions, and certainly requirements engineers can anonymize interview results. Furthermore, we can educate all project stakeholders about the importance of engaging and listening to a diverse set of stakeholders. And the final problem I want to discuss, I'm going to call not just one on-site customer. So this really addresses the more agile practice of having a single representative customer that represents all of the stakeholders for a project. In the past decade, this notion has become more popular. It was promoted by Kent Beck as a key extreme programming practice. And the idea is basically to have a single crack customer at the team's beck and call. And the idea is that this will lead to a better understanding of the requirements. I have to disagree with this, and I think that it's a very bad idea for numerous reasons. First of all, I want to point out that the famous C3, which is the Chrysler Comprehensive Compensation Project, around which many of the impactful ideas and practices of agile development initially emerged, was ultimately cancelled. There are several different accounts that you can find as to the reason for the cancellation, but the one that seems the most convincing relates to two important roles or people in the project: the gold owner, who was the project funder, and the gold donor, who served as the on-site customer and defined requirements in the form of user stories. As is often the case in the C3 project, the owner and donor actually had different goals for the project, and the communication breakdown apparently started a chain of events that contributed to the project's cancellation. The bottom line is that projects should not funnel all the requirements through a single customer representative. it's highly unlikely that one person can represent the diverse opinions or fully expose the conflicts and prioritization decisions that are the hallmark of stakeholder-intensive elicitation. Healthy projects require the engagement of diverse stakeholders. And requirements engineers working in such projects need to juggle technical, sociological, and psychological hats to systematically discover and unravel the requirements from the minds of stakeholders. So I encourage everyone to throw away the notion of a single on-site customer and to acknowledge that no single person knows everything that needs to be known about the project. We need to engage a diverse set of stakeholders in the entire requirements elicitation, analysis, and negotiation process. I'd like to close on a more positive note. We acknowledge our stakeholders' value by recognizing them as unique individuals and collaborating with them to discover and unravel requirements knowledge. In this way, we can identify problems as they emerge, maintaining awareness of how individuals might positively or negatively impact requirements elicitation's social dimensions. Even a difficult stakeholder can sometimes be transformed into a high performer if we adjust our communication style to match his or her skills and personality, and if we draw on our toolkit of elicitation techniques. These, of course, include interviews, surveys, ethnographic studies, and creative brainstorming activities. Every project is unique, and the smorgasbord of stakeholders who possess requirements knowledge make it even more so.